Hello and welcome to your favorite podcast. I know that it is. This is Wham Bam Pow, a movie show, podcast about movies, sci-fi, and action. Dick flicks, we like to call them here. I am your host, Rhea Butcher, also known as the Lady James Dean, and also known as Pamplemousse. Thanks for sending me all your Pamplemousse photos. I really love that. It's pretty great. And I also love that little giggle that's coming from the other microphone. My co-host, Mr. Coco Palau, Ricky Carmona. How are you, Ricky?
Hello, Rhea. How are you?
I'm good. I'm recovering from being in Canada for 3 days.
That's Canadian. They party up there, yo.
They party. Pretty cold.
So much poutine.
Yeah. I did have vegan poutine when I was
there. Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I want to try poutine.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like, oh, it's going to wreck my stomach, but it also looks like I want you to wreck my stomach.
Yeah, like Canadian food will wreck your stomach. It's like super rich and like weird combinations of things.
Yeah.
Like I was trying to find something to eat at like 11:30 at night, and the only thing that was open was the restaurant connected to the hotel. And I went in and like, it was a Japanese Mexican fusion restaurant.
Sure, of course.
And I was like, this, and they, Canada loves to put those two things together. Like, also not just Japanese, like Thai Mexican.
Ooh.
Like, it doesn't, I don't.
Thai Mexican sounds delicious.
I'm very confused by the combination, but what I ended up ordering, because you would think that those two things, there would be some vegetarian options,
sure,
at least with the Mexican stuff. There were almost none. And I ended up ordering pumpernickel toast with guacamole on it.
Whoa.
And tomatoes. They came with a soft-boiled sesame seed egg. I did not eat that. And then a salad that was like, you know, like Japanese salad, like cabbage and stuff like that with no dressing on it.
Yeah.
I was like, Canada, what are you doing to me?
I don't want to go to Canada anymore.
I mean, you should definitely go because they have the best Kit Kats I've ever
eaten.
They're delicious. The Kit Kat Chunky. Hello, changed my life.
Is that a new variation of the Kit Kat?
It's the British version,
okay.
I think. It's the UK standard Kit Kat. They make a peanut butter chunky Kit Kat, which I did not try, and I'm glad, because now I've only had the one that was really great, so nothing wiped it clean.
There you go.
But it, like, this Canadian kid was driving us home, three comics, and he was like, oh, have you had the Kit Kat chunky there? And we're like, no. And he's like, oh, we got to get one. And we're like, well, where will we go? He's like, oh, I'm getting you one. And like took us to a convenience store that was open. And then we bought these things and we all started eating them. And we're just like, oh my God, like, losing our minds. But the chunky part is that the it's like a big cat.
Okay.
Where it's just the single bar.
True, yeah.
This is riveting, I'm sure. I hope everybody.
I'm all in.
I like Kit Kat talk.
I like
Kit
the first
Kat
part
chat.
Of the story so far.
It's a Kit Kat chat.
Yeah.
So it's like just the one bar, you know, like full-size candy bar, but even bigger than like the American version.
Ooh.
And then the chunky part is that the wafer to chocolate ratio is completely different than the United States ratio, which is that there is way more chocolate than there is wafer, which is pretty delicious.
Wow.
And the kid that got them for us was like, so, you know, the great thing is there's a solid inch there, which is great because he said inch. I'm like, wow, you know both? Okay. Of chocolate before you even get to the weight. So you can take multiple approaches. Now I just sound like I'm Irish. I can't really do a Canadian accent. It's very hard for me. But
remember how I said I didn't want to go to Canada anymore?
No, you want to go to Canada?
I don't want to go back to Canada.
It was really good. But yeah, that festival was super fun.
Yeah.
It was their first year, so it was the Odd Block Festival. So thanks to anybody that's listening to this that came to those shows. It was super fun. I hope you had a good time. I sure as hell had a good time. Winnipeg was very unassuming. When I was getting there, I was on the plane, and this woman was sitting next to me. We struck up a conversation, like, basically as we landed. Like, we didn't talk the whole time, and she was from there, and I was like, oh, so what's, like, the one thing I should see before I leave Winnipeg? Is there, like, something cool I should go see or pretty or whatever? And she thought for a moment, sort of looked away, and she turned back to me, and she said, no. And I was like, this is going to be my kind of town. You got nothing? All right, great. And not in like a, nah, nothing's great. She was just kind of like, no.
That's great.
It was amazing. So it was a great trip for that reason. And I just want to mention up top before we get into the show that Cameron Esposito, your absent host, who is on sabbatical writing a book.
Did Cameron ever exist? I'm starting to think she never existed.
She didn't.
It's been a minute
figment
since
of
I've
our
seen her.
Imagination. But we are going to go on tour starting in October, and we're going to be in New York on the 9th, Portland on the 16th, Seattle on the 17th, Modesto, California on the 23rd for the Northern California Women's Music Festival, Sacramento on the 24th, San Francisco on the 25th, Kansas City, Missouri on the 3rd of November, Columbia, Missouri on the 5th, St. Louis, Missouri, no Cardinals, no Cardinals on the 6th, Portsmouth, New Hampshire on the 17th, Boston, Massachusetts on the 19th, and then we'll be in Chicago on December 10th. At Thalia Hall, or Talia Hall, I don't know how you pronounce it. And also, all the locations and venues are on both of our websites, and you can get links to tickets there. So please come out to a show if you live by us. And on today's show, we're going to be doing a hell of a review of 2014's Hercules, starring The Rock, which is available on Netflix Watch Instant. And when we do review the show, we will be spoiling it. We're just going to talk openly about the movie. So if you haven't seen it yet, just watch it, come back to it, or just listen to it because we're really funny. And we will be right back with some news, reviews, and things you can use right after this. All right, we're back. And I am just regaling Ricky with all sorts of stories of Canada. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm trying to think of the other differences. Well, their one-way signs don't say one-way. It just has an arrow, so they're really trustworthy.
Okay.
They're also, like, not aggressive drivers at all. Like, full stop on a yellow, like, they won't go through it. I saw a kid do that, and I was like, this is out of your comfort zone, isn't it? Like, he was trying to do it for us, I feel like.
Yeah.
They also have Bud Light Apple. Whoa. Like, that's their Bud Light Lime. Disgusting.
Who's in charge of, like, their
Canada?
Food production?
I don't
over
even
there
know.
And, like, this all sounds crazy.
It's weird. I don't know who's even in charge of Canada. Nobody even mentioned it.
Yeah, and also, who's in charge of Canada
Instead
nowadays?
Of, like, you know, comics talk about the president a lot mm-hmm. in the United States. Like, saying Obama is, like, a thing that comes up a lot. And, like, in comics jokes up there, instead of, like, if they're talking about... They talked about Obama. not like, oh, President Obama, blah, 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 blah. It was, like, referencing someone, referencing a world leader... They did not reference theirs. They referenced President Obama, as we would, of like...
I would assume ours is cooler than theirs.
Absolutely,
you know, so.
But it's just, it was odd to me. And but the biggest thing that was weird to me is that I saw, while I was watching TV, number one, they play tons of baseball highlights and bloopers, just on a loop. And I was like, I love you, Canada. This is a dream. To just have, like, bloopers and highlights, ugh, that's all I want to see. Anyway, so they were playing that. And then they played this commercial for Mazda that I've seen numerous times here, where, like, a kid buys a Roadster after he's, like, failed his test a bunch of times. It's like a collage of things happening. Mm-hmm. He takes the Roadster to college, then he trades in the Roadster when he gets married for a married car, then he trades in that when he has a kid, and they're all Mazda cars, and then he gets older and his kid's grown up, so he buys another Mazda
Aww,
Roadster, and it's like, Mazda,
the circle of life.
The car that makes you you, or whatever. Mm. That's the whole thing, right? So... They play the same commercial with no, it's not different at all until the end when they go, Mazda, the car that makes you, you. And I was like, wait, the only thing that's different is how the brand name is pronounced. Like, they didn't change the brand name. That would make sense to me for the brand name to be different. We have that in this country too. But then they changed it to Mazda. And also, that feels like more of an American pronunciation of Mazda anyway.
Yeah, it sounds like
of
somebody
Mazda.
From Chicago would say.
Yeah, Mazda.
He drives a Mazda.
He drives a Mazda. So that's my Canadian update for everybody.
I think we should have more Canadian updates.
More Canadian updates. I'll find some more, and then I'll think of them. Also, their water in Winnipeg is from a lake. So it was like, it tasted like water.
I
was
hoping
crazy.
You were going to say it's purple. Like,
yeah,
what are they
purple.
Doing over there?
They put maple syrup in it. But Kevin McDonald was at one of the shows.
Ooh,
that
dope.
Was pretty crazy
That's
to see.
Yeah.
And all the comics were like losing their minds. Anyway,
how many statues dedicated to the kids in the hall are
I didn't see
all
any, Jeez, unfortunately.
What
I didn't
are
get
you
to the
doing over there, Canada?
Kith Monument.
That's great.
So anyway, in some movie news, you know, we'll just, what if we just talked about Canada for an hour instead
then,
of...
I mean, this. I think we have a bonus episode.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we are kind of, I don't know, I was thumbing through news today
sure.
trying to figure out what to talk about, and nothing was really, because I'm to the point where, like, I'm not going to talk about Star Wars news. It's
sure.
just the same thing over and over again, and, like, I don't care anymore, because it's just talking about the one movie, like, how does beep beep sound? Like,
right.
I don't care.
Yeah, it's a lot
I
like...
mean, that's fine if you're into it, but, like, I'm not going to talk about how C-3PO sounds in this movie
yeah.
versus this movie. Like, it's crazy.
I saw one cool picture of... What's our boy's name from Attack the Block?
Oh, China, I don't know his name. But...
John Boyega. Holding a blue lightsaber. And I was like, that's
well,
what's
that's
up.
Well, that's some good news. That's Thanks for bringing up. That to the table, Ricky. That I will give up.
That was, I assume there's a trailer coming soon, but this was like a video they posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
And that was like one of the shots.
Oh, right.
Like, oh.
Well, this I would talk about. It's interesting that that was, so Instagram like used Star Wars to introduce their new setting, which is you can have landscape and portrait photographs now. Like, it doesn't have to be a square.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
Oh.
And like, the way this relates to this show is that it used Star Wars. Crazy that they're using Star Wars to be like, yeah, they're the first one that gets to use our thing. Mm. And it seems like Star Wars was the first one to use the hashtag with the like integrated emoji as well.
I don't know if I've seen that.
You know
that.
What I'm talking about? Like, for Star Wars Day or whatever, that Star Wars Fest or whatever, mm-hmm. somebody created, like, a hashtag that when you use that particular hashtag, a little, like, C-3PO head would pop up
right?
at the end of it.
Ooh.
And then they did that with the NBA Finals and then with the VMAs last night. If you use the VMA hashtag, a little moon man would be at the end of it.
I think I noticed it with the NBA Finals and because I remember once putting in a hashtag and being like, oh, that's not
what is
I,
that thing?
I didn't put that there. How'd I do that?
It's a great idea.
Sure.
It's a really smart idea. And so then to back to the Instagram thing, they posted one of those trailers and it's in widescreen and not. I am very upset about it personally.
That it's landscape now?
Yeah, that they're allowing that in there.
I kind of like it just because when I've tried to take pictures of Instagram on landscape, I'm always like, oh, it's too, like, I just can't, like, I'm never satisfied with the sizing. So I'm interested to see what
well,
it looks like with the trailer.
The thing that I don't like about it is that the whole point. I mean, the whole look of Instagram was the square.
Sure.
Because when you go to somebody's feed and you scroll through it, it's so satisfying. Even if you're making a photo, like, because you could use, like, I would use Whiteagram.
Sure.
I can't wait for that Whiteagram money to start rolling in. To, like, you know, fill in the space so that it would be white and not black bars, because that is really ugly, I think, personally. Mm. So even if somebody was using that, I liked how it still fit into that. Like graph of images.
Yeah.
And so now when you do it, it's like just, ugh. It like, I want to put my shoulders up and not look at it because it's just like, ugh, it's so satisfying. See, the thing that I do is I take all my photos in square format. So they're already formatted for it and I'm never going to cut anything out because it's already there.
When I made that switch, Rhea, that was a game changer.
It is a game changer. When they added that to the phone.
Yeah, that was like, okay, here we go.
Because otherwise you had to, I mean, that's the thing. That's photography, though. It's like cropping. Like, you're never supposed to crop in the viewfinder? Is that what it was? I don't know.
Hmm.
One of my photography teachers was like, don't crop in the viewfinder. I'm like, no, you should be cropping in the viewfinder because that's the photograph, right? But anyway, so that's how we got Star Wars to fit into this news.
Hmm.
So the other news that I was looking at that I found somewhat interesting is that Michael B. Jordan, friend of the show, our Wire reference.
Yeah, boom.
Because we've had like, I think it's four episodes now that we've found some way that someone in something that we end up talking about has been in The Wire. So it's like our 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon is 6 degrees of
We were
Wire.
Talking about The Wire before we started recording?
We were. Before
Did
and
we
now
mention
within,
that on the show?
We haven't mentioned it on the show. I was going to bring it up at the end.
Solid.
That's
teaser.
So,
that's
so
called
stick
a teaser
around
right there.
For we'll Boom. Leave you with, because I'm going to leave you with what I just left you with, which is nothing. Oh! So Michael B. Jordan is in talks for a Blood Brothers movie. Which is a Dark Horse comic that's about vampire buddies, like a vampire buddy movie.
Like so, they're both vampires?
Like they're both vampires, and they have like a falling out.
Hmm.
So that's the, you know, I don't want to go too much into the story, but because the big thing is like, it's great that he's in talks to do it because he was in Fantastic Four, which tanked, and it's great that he's like, and he's the Human Torch, right? So he's rising like a phoenix from the flames
indeed.
Of the dead Human Torch. Because I just think
I think he's going to be all right.
Yeah,
regardless
I hope
of
he
that.
Out of
Fantastic Four.
I think they'll all be all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Jamie Bell doesn't really. He's kind of a very like indie style actor, but I really want Michael B. Jordan to like just take off because I feel like he needs to. Like he should have a huge career.
Yeah, he's going to. I mean, he's got that Creed movie coming out.
Right, that'll be the one.
The fact that I mean, he's in that category now where you. You talk about what his upcoming projects
sure.
are.
Yeah.
He doesn't just show up and you go, oh, wow, You're like, oh yeah, I've been looking forward to that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But this movie sounds fun because they they have all these exploits through time since they're thousands of years old and they're just, you know, buddy vampires.
Sounds a little Interview with a Vampire, but yeah. Like there's going to be some giggles in it. Is it a comedy?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be, you know, like an action story. Maybe an action comedy, but more action, more comic book action than anything else. So
all right.
I'm glad he's going to rise from those ashes. and then Bourne 5.
Mm.
And Matt Damon is back for that. Jeremy Renner is not. So
I'm getting
a big fist pump for that because good God. And I also tried to watch that one, the Bourne Legacy. Is that the one?
I think that one's the Bourne Legacy, yeah.
And there's a scene in that movie where I was like, I just can't watch this movie anymore. It like freaked me out too much. There's like a shooting in like a sort of massacre style shooting in like a workplace.
Okay.
And it was like too real.
Oh, wow.
And it was, I watched it when shootings were happening and I was like, I don't know. So I'll come back for Matt Damon.
Yeah, I haven't, I started watching The Bourne Legacy and I don't even know if it was a scene. I was just like, I'm going to take a break from this.
Boring.
I'm not into
yeah.
it.
yeah.
And I have not
Never
much of
gone
a desire
back.
To go back. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, I guess this one, the interesting thing, because Matt Damon was being interviewed and he sort of spilled the beans about
Ooh.
This upcoming one, that basically the Bourne movies were in response to the Bush administration with everything that was going on with that, with Homeland Security and terrorism, fighting terrorism and stuff. So then when that sort of went away, they decided to step, they being Greengrass and Matt Damon, decided to step away from the story. And now they're like, well, now there's a bunch of shit going on, so we can come back to it. So basically, it's going to be born in the post, like, NSA spill, Edward Snowden kind of a thing.
I like all that.
Starting in Greece and ending in Vegas.
Whoa.
So that sounds interesting
to
me.
So is he Ocean's 11 character? Is that who he's playing?
yeah.
Is that what's going on?
he is, yeah. But he's going to go to Mars in the middle.
is Paul Greengrass really coming back to direct?
Yeah,
I
think
like
so.
That.
Don't
I
quote
like
me
that.
On that one, but yeah. I think so. I think he is coming back. Because I feel like Matt Damon wouldn't come back unless it was Paul Greengrass.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was just reading an interview with Stephen Colbert. It's a great like GQ interview in there.
Oh yeah,
and he says the same thing about like kind of like why he stopped doing the show. Like it's just not
right.
that time with that. Like the things that are happening around the world aren't affecting. So people come watch our show.
Right.
And we give this opinion now. Like those guys have like gone away.
Yeah, so it's a new breed
yeah.
of that. So it makes sense for the turnover to happen. Of like with Larry Wilmore.
Yeah.
Talking about the new things. Like it. Yeah, that yeah. makes total sense to me.
So I like hearing that about the Bourne movies. I like the Bourne movies outside of the Bourne Legacy. I thought they were pretty.
yeah, that one's a bit of a misstep. I just think Jeremy Renner is a misstep.
You don't like it? You're not
no,
a fan?
No, I just can't stand him anymore.
Huh.
His, like, the stuff that he said outside of the Avengers, like, with the slut-shaming stuff was
yeah.
really ridiculous. And before that, he just has gotten, like, really one note for me. He hasn't really... I really liked him in The Hurt Locker. Thought he was really great in that. And then...
I need to see that again.
After that, yeah, I feel like maybe if I watch it again, I'd be like, yeah, you know what? He's not that great. but, yeah, he just hasn't really... And seeing that Bourne Legacy, he just... He was given things, and then he just didn't take off with them, you know. And I thought he was pretty crappy in the 70s art heist movie, whatever that was, too. I thought he was
American Hustle?
Thank you.
That's one. Yeah, that's one that I really did not care for him in that.
Yeah.
I didn't care for that movie
I thought
that
he
much.
Was the weak link. I enjoyed the movie, but I thought he was the weakest part
yeah.
of it.
But I liked him in the second Avengers. I feel like I just saw him in something.
I
forgot that he was in the town.
In the 10th Avengers.
I want to see that. I want to see the town again.
He was good in that.
Really good
he
in
was
that.
Good in that because he actually plays a character.
Yeah.
he actually like develops a personality
actually,
in that
yeah.
movie as opposed to just being Jeremy Renner. Like
yeah, that's true. He is really like playing like a son of a bitch in that movie.
Yeah.
And since then, he's been like good guy Jeremy Renner.
Right.
Hmm. Yeah, come on, Jeremy.
He even in the last Mission Impossible was just like, not, I mean, he was kind of funny with
yeah,
the
was
repetition,
funny in
but he didn't get do anything.
Right.
At least in the one before that, he got to do stuff. Anyway, our Jeremy Renner minute is over now.
We've had a Canada minute.
yeah.
We've had a Kit Kat minute. Instagram minute.
Renner minute.
Renner minute.
Renner minute. that sounds like a service that you would
yeah.
like buy in the 80s to like fix your VCR or something. Renner
VCR's
minute.
Not working? Call Renner minute.
Call Renner minute.
We'll be right there.
Well, rent a minute.
You can rent it in a minute.
In a minute. Exactly. So my last news bit is not really a movie that necessarily fits our typical docket of films, but I thought it was worth mentioning because it is about someone that basically is like a real life action hero. And it's the documentary He Named Me Malala about the Middle Eastern gal who was shot in the head for speaking up and saying that women should be able to go to school. And it looks like a brilliant documentary. Can't wait for it to come out. And it's coming out in October.
And it's she's a kid, is that right?
She's 17 now, yeah. I think. She has a Nobel Peace Prize.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Yeah. The trailer is amazing. It's by the same guy that did Inconvenient Truth.
I like that.
So, yeah, it looks amazing. So check that out. And that's our last piece of news because there wasn't a lot going on. It's just all Star Wars, goddammit. So we'll be right back with a special piece right after this.
Hi, this is Biz.
And I'm Teresa.
And we host a show about being new moms. Have you ever pretended to be a sleeping rock to make your three-year-old play by yourself?
How about scream singing to make yourself think you aren't screaming? You're singing really, really loud!
Join us every week for more helpful tips on creative parenting. And remember, you don't have to park your toddler in front of the TV to be one bad mother.
Subscribe for free on iTunes or go to MaximumFun.org.
All right, we're back, and we just wanted to take a moment and have a special segment, no name for it, just to, because we lost a few people over the weekend, and two of them are, I think, important to this show. So, Ricky, did you want to take it away with our mentions of special people?
Sure. R.I.P. to a director that until we found out he passed away, and you told me, hey, what do you think about doing this? And I said everything. I was like, oh, shit, I guess this director was kind of, like, important to me.
Huge, yeah.
Similar to a movies that made me, kind of, maybe also a director that made me. Wes Craven passed away yesterday. Complication of brain cancer.
72, right?
72 years old.
Yeah.
So R.I.P. to Wes Craven.
Yeah.
Grew up watching his movies. Paid money to go see Vampire in Brooklyn. Yeah, I did.
Of course you did.
Yeah, I did.
I watched it on HBO once, I think.
It's terrible.
I didn't watch the whole thing because it was too scary. That's also why I'm having Ricky do Wes Craven, because I think the only Wes Craven that I've seen is Scream.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a solid one.
That's it. Because I'm not like a horror person.
Mm-hmm.
And while I completely appreciate everything that he's done, I couldn't speak to any of it.
Because I've never seen none of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Not a one.
First one's very good. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street and Scream, like both of those, they just did a. He did this really cool thing where he like brought together all this young talent that who's Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Boom. This is Johnny Depp now. He blows up. And then he does it again in Scream. Wes Craven is like one of those directors where I didn't always race out to see one of his movies, but when I would see one, I'd be like, all right, yeah, I'm into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
like,
somebody was just telling me about New Nightmare, that it's like an underappreciated. I feel like everybody's going to be talking about that movie now.
Sure. Oh, absolutely.
Because like it's a super meta one from the mid-90s or something.
Yeah, way ahead of the meta-ness that happens now. Yeah, I remember watching it and being like, why is it talking about it being a movie?
I'm watching
a
movie.
Weird, yeah. But now I want to see it again because I want to know, like, all right, how what layers were you
so
trying to
work with?
So
basically like a pre-Scream kind of, in a way. Because Scream is meta also, but not in meta in
not,
that
not
way.
Not meta in the
like,
story, right.
Right, yeah.
New Nightmare is meta in the sense they're making a Nightmare on Elm Street movie while you're watching the
Nightmare on Elm Street happening.
And all the characters play, like, Robert Englund plays Robert Englund, who plays Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
It's really cool. Yeah, I'd like to see that one again. Shocker was a movie that I saw Shocker at the Davis Theater. It was me, my brother, and nobody else.
Yeah. Those are always great.
But that stars a Skinner from The X-Files and Peter Berg. It's a crazy movie. He would always have movies where, like, if the movie wasn't great, there was some crazy iconic moment in it where I was like, whoa. He did this movie called Deadly Friend that I saw when I was a kid on VHS. A lot of solid VHS titles from Wes Craven. And this one was about a guy who becomes best friend with a girl who turns out to be a robot. and the robot becomes...
No, this is Small Wonder.
No, oh, man. This is Small Wonder when she got upset. And there's this scene, I'm not going to give away like who it happens to, but the robot grabs the basketball and throws it at this older woman's head. And it's just like perfect 80s special effects of like basketball and the head exploding and like just, oh, it's so great. What else did I want to say? Did you know he was from Cleveland?
No, you're kidding me.
I am not kidding you.
Well, that makes sense. Seriously, all weirdos are from Cleveland.
Why is that not a book title yet?
It should be. Jim Jarmusch is from Northeastern Ohio. Hmm. I mean, he's a weirdo, I think. You know,
Harvey Keitel?
No, American Splendor.
Harvey Picar? Is that his name?
Harvey Picar. Thank you.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
Sorry, everyone listening. It's just like a weirdo me. I'm from there. Devo. All that stuff is super weird.
Another movie that I loved growing up from Wes Craven was Swamp Thing. I saw that in the theater. That introduced me to Adrian Barbeau. Hello, Adrian Barbeau. But that movie gave me nightmares. I wished I had a nightmare last night after I found. I was like, oh, man, it would be so good to get one.
Were you going to sleep going, scary things?
Yeah, come on, Freddy's Gloves. And then the trailer to, I'm a big trailer fan.
Yes.
He has a great trailer to the movie called The Serpent and the Rainbow with Bill Pullman. I never saw the movie, but that trailer is creepy as hell.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big, real creepy.
Check out that trailer, everybody.
And, he was dope. You know, it kind of sucks that...
What do you think, if you had to name one moment that if somebody's like, Wes Craven, one moment, what would that be? Because that somebody is me, and I'm saying, Wes Craven, one moment, what would it be?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
I mean, that...
Which like, iconic moment from that movie that... is like, that's what I think of when I...
Yeah. Are you asking me which iconic moment?
I'm asking you.
All the stuff where you first see Freddy show up is really creepy. There's a great kill scene that involves a waterbed and a lot of blood.
I've seen that. So that would be the one, the Johnny Depp one?
Yeah, that one's... Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I just remember being really terrified watching that movie. Like, God damn, I should not be watching this.
I've never seen any of those movies, like I said, but I did watch, A Nightmare on Elm Street, the TV series.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was not the movie at all. It was like two people that were investigating. It was like pre-
No, that's you're thinking of Friday the 13th, the TV series.
Thank you.
There was a Nightmare on Elm Street show that was hosted by Freddy.
Okay.
And that was kind of like a horror anthology show.
Oh, okay. I probably watched both. But yeah, I used to watch Friday the 13th, the series.
I don't think
I
Nightmare
still
on Elm
remember
Street.
Episodes from that show.
Yeah, me too. It was great.
Like, it was terrifying.
I thought that show was really cool.
Yeah. There was an episode where a guy like was owing a bunch of money to the mob or something, but he had bought his mother a VCR and was like, "Now you don't have to watch the commercials." And as a kid, I was like, "Wait, what?" Like, I could not comprehend that concept, like, at all.
She invented DVR.
Yeah, she invented DVR. So another loss that we unfortunately suffered over the weekend as a culture is the Dr. Oliver Sacks, who wrote many books on... He studied brains. He was a neurologist and made many contributions to a bunch of radio shows that were always amazing. He was on Radiolab a bunch and then also, I think, on This American Life, but on NPR quite often. And I think he was on The Daily Show, made a lot of appearances there. But the reason why I wanted to bring him up on our show is because he wrote a book, The Man Who Mistook His Wife for a Hat, which was then adapted into the film Awakenings, which was directed by Penny Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Came out in 1990, stars Robert De Niro and Robin Williams. And it is about these people in a hospital in New York that suffer from, I think it's called, basically the people are just like walking comas. Mm-hmm. You know, like they don't really function necessarily. And it's a really beautiful story of like therapy and... science and humanity. And if you haven't seen that movie, first of all, block off a bunch of time. Make sure it's a night when you're feeling okay. And then definitely watch the movie Awakenings, because it really is just like a beautiful story. And it's so tremendously acted. and Penny Marshall. It is a shame that she was not nominated for that movie because it's just a beautiful film. Ricky and I were talking about it before we came in here. The Penny Marshall directed, wait, what was the first one?
It was Big.
Big.
And then Awakenings. And then A League of Their Own. Three.
That's
boom, boom, boom.
Insane that she was not nominated for any of those movies.
That's a trilogy.
Even
and a
Golden
right
Globe.
There.
Like, she should have been nominated at least for a Golden Globe for one of those three movies because they're all beautiful. But anyway.
Awakenings is so good. I'm remembering
it's
the
really
scene
good.
Where it's like when they first start, then it's like, oh, it's working. Like, they throw a tennis ball at De Niro and he just, like, puts
catches,
his hand up and catches it. Oh.
Yeah.
That I think it's going to make you cry, y'all. It's going to make you cry.
It will make you cry hard.
Yeah,
but,
hard.
Yeah, and it's one of Robin Williams' great movies. I thought Robert De Niro's really good. Anyway, so definitely
Penelope Ann Miller. Shout out to Penelope Ann Miller.
Shout
Why
out
not?
To Penelope Ann Miller. That's the kind of star celebrity you don't have these days.
Penelope Ann Miller?
You don't have a Penelope Ann Miller-style actress these days, and I miss it. But, yes, R.I.P. to Oliver Sacks, because I always, every time his voice came on to a podcast or a radio show that I was listening to, my brain was happy. And I feel like that's the best way to describe his work. He really did a lot for human beings. So anyway, check out Awakenings, check out New Nightmare, and rest in peace, Wes Craven and Oliver Sacks. And we will be back after this with our review of Hercules.
Hi, everybody. I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Dr. Sidney McElroy.
Oh, look at you, doctor.
You told me to say it that way.
We have a medical history show called Sawbones right here on Maximum Fun, where we talk about all the dumb, hurtful, damaging ways that we've tried to fix people over the years.
Have you ever tried to put mercury on a syphilis shanker? Or maybe you tried to drill a hole in your head because you heard it would reduce your blood-brain volume?
That was dumb. But if you want to know exactly why and know about all the other people that try to do the same dumb thing you did, you can listen to our show every Friday right here on MaximumFun.org.
All right, we're back with our the big part of our show, our review of a movie. I'm really killing it with tonight.
You're knocking it out,
I'm doing
girl.
Doing a great job. Our review today, our dick flick, is Hercules, which is available on Netflix Watch Instant. And we are just going to openly discuss the movie. So if you don't want to be spoiled, hit pause, come back to it, listen to the rest of it, or just don't give a shit. Just have fun. Live your life.
Live your life, y'all. Live your life.
So Hercules, it's directed by Brett Ratner.
Your boy.
Known for the bad X-Men. And it's written by Ryan Condal, I don't know how you pronounce it. Didn't really write anything else of note.
Really?
And it stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson, John Hurt, Ian McShane, Joseph Fiennes, and Ingrid Bozell-Berdahl. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Sounds right to me.
And the plot... I had to get the plot just from generally the internet because I couldn't get IMDb to copy and paste. So, though he is famous across the ancient world for his larger-than-life exploits, Hercules, the son of Zeus and a human woman...
A human one.
...is haunted by his tragic past. Now, he fights only for gold as a traveling mercenary accompanied by a band of loyal followers, including Amphiaris and Autocles... However, when the benevolent ruler of Thrace and his daughter seek his help in defeating a savage warlord, Hercules must find the true hero within himself once again. Okay.
All right.
So I was telling
that made more sense to me than what I watched.
So I was telling Ricky that I had to watch. I watched this movie like a half an hour before we got in here, and it was taking me forever to watch it because I, like I said, ad nauseum. I was in Canada over the weekend, and stupid me was like, "Oh yeah, I'll just watch it there," and then I got there and my Netflix didn't work because you have to have Canadian Netflix to watch Netflix in Canada, no matter what.
Why you tripping, Canada? Why you tripping?
I mean, I'm sure they want American Netflix. They seem to love America there.
They don't call everything else Canada, though, right? They're not Canada Mazda.
Canada Mazda,
right?
No.
See, but they're just trying to mess with your Netflix.
Yeah, just trying to mess with my Netflix.
Okay, Canada.
I talked to a woman. I was like, wait, because I kept saying how terrible Americans are, because we are. I mean, we're terrible. We're the worst. We're loud.
Spread the good word. Absolutely.
We eat disgusting food. I mean, we're just like capitalist swine, you know? And so I asked this gal, because these Canadians kept looking at me like I was crazy when I was like, yeah, dumb Americans. We're dumb Americans. And
are Canadians that nice that they don't even think that?
No. I was like, do you guys like America? And she was like, oh, I love it. I mean, she didn't say it. She was like, oh, yeah, I love it. I love Chicago and Olive Garden.
I was like,
okay, well, now I understand. You don't like America. You just think we have a few better dumb restaurants or whatever.
Olive Garden is her go-to in Chicago.
And
that's great.
She was not ironically saying Olive Garden.
I don't believe she was.
So I couldn't watch it there. It took me a long time. But honestly, it didn't take me a while to get through it because I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. It just, I kept having to do other things. And I feel like it took you a long time to get through it because you didn't like it.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't feel like it was, I wasn't like slogging through it, but I was just like, let's go. Mm-hmm. All right, next. Yep. I mean, this movie's so weird. It's like, I like the idea that you said at the beginning of the Hercules is like this mercenary.
Yeah.
And he's like just trying to get paid, and he's got his group of people going along. All right, that sounds like a cool story. But then like the tone of it, they're still like trying to make like Hercules, like he's the Rock, so you want to like him, you know? But it's like, I would have almost liked it if Hercules wasn't like a good guy then.
I would have liked it if the plot had been linear, like this, like this description I just read.
It does that jumping around.
Yeah.
Especially in the beginning, too.
Yes. Where I just, because I couldn't fully pay attention to the movie as much as I wanted to, I kept thinking as I was watching it, like, would I enjoy this if I was in the theater? And I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
The jury is still out on that one. If I would have been like, oh, God, get me out of here. Or if I would have been locked in to the story. But I just found the, like, sort of weird, the way they did flashbacks didn't, I was confused as to whether it was happening.
Yeah.
Had happened or was a vision. Like, yeah. I couldn't always decipher, like, what was going on. And so halfway through the movie, I realized, like, oh, his family is dead. Like, I thought he was projecting and seeing that it was going to happen.
Right, right.
I was very confused because there's another character that does that sees the future. And I was like, oh, well, Hercules is just doing it too because he's a demigod.
Yeah.
But then that wasn't the case. And I realized, oh, they're already dead. And that was a while ago. And so it was like very confusing to me for that reason.
The story's pretty confusing. I mean, because they're also trying to create this new mythology of Hercules.
Sure.
So now you have to kind of like start, you know, keeping up with that.
The reason why I think I possibly enjoyed it more than you did is that I didn't give a shit. Because I have a general knowledge of Greek mythology due to my name. And I was just like, none of this makes any sense. And I just stopped caring who the characters were. And we're just like, okay, that's the dude that wants something else. And that's the mentor guy, and then that's the woman, and then that's the crazy guy. Like, I just was looking at them like Expendables.
Yeah.
And just didn't keep track of anything. And then it made the movie much more enjoyable.
I don't think Brett Ratner is, like, the worst director in the world. Like, people, like, they go hard on him. I think he can make a good movie every once in a while. Mm-hmm. But this just looked like a badly made movie. Like, that opening credits where it just says, like, Hercules, I was like, who let you borrow, like, Photoshop? What happened there? That was just, got me nervous right off the bat. I was like, oh.
Yes, the CGI on the snakes that come out, you know, when he's, like, born. And I was like, whoa, what is that choice? But then, and this is actually, I guess we could just get into, well, I wanted to do worst first.
Sure.
Spoiler, this is one of my best. And I saw those snakes come out, and I was like, good God, those are really fake looking. And I was like, this is going to be really bad if this is the direction that they went. But then I realized I actually liked the choice of the brightly colored CGI, because even though to us it looks really fake, I liked that choice in this world, because I had recently accidentally watched the Clash of Titans and Wrath of Titans.
Oh boy.
Like, it was just on in a green room and no one turned it off. And so I was watching that. And it, along with tons of recent movies that we talk about that are like sci-fi or fantasy or, you know, like not of this time, things just, And we were talking about this last episode on Starship Troopers, that like the brightly colored CGI actually holds up, because all the brown stuff or gray stuff or purple stuff, it all just fades into one thing to me. And so I liked that about this movie, where there were brightly colored things, like their clothing was brightly colored sometimes, and the bad guys were brightly colored. So I could actually decipher what was going on. And also, like, I thought it was more true to the time, because, I mean, we have no photographs, obviously, but I feel
you
like...
You haven't seen his Instagram account?
I haven't seen,
Hercules' Instagram account? Talk to that.
Instagram. But I, you know, we human beings made dyes back then, and I highly doubt that they went with neutral tones. You know, like, they like if you're going to make clothing, which you do by hand in Greece, you made it, like, as bright blue as you possibly could, because that would be, like... Ta-da! Look at what I made. Yeah. So, like, I kind of liked that about it, and it looked to me better, actually, than, like, Troy.
Huh. I never saw Troy.
The color choices?
Gotcha.
I didn't see it either, but I just mean,
about.
Like, it, there was something about it that felt really accurate in a weird way.
I do think it's a very consistent choice, and it's, like, a clear choice that they're going for that, because even, like, when they have, like, that battle... they have, like, battles during the day, which I did kind of like that, because you do kind of, like, get to see what's
like,
happening.
They probably
they fight those green people.
Yeah, the green people. Yeah.
I mean, that's when I was like, okay, you're going for something here.
And I also like the contrast that it then gives to Hercules, who himself is a brown-skinned man. Then against all these bright colors, you can see him, like, really well. I loved that contrast. And I also loved The Rock as Hercules, because, like, that's probably more what Hercules looked like, and his, like, yak testicle beard was amazing.
Yeah. I feel like I love him as Hercules. I think he is Hercules, but I had the same reaction with, like, Will Smith and Ali. Like, not that Will Smith can be the only one who plays Ali, but it was like, oh, I don't know when we're going to get another Ali movie now.
Sure.
I don't know if we're going to get another Hercules movie, which is too bad, because The Rock is perfect for Hercules. It's like, oh, dude, he's the guy.
Yeah. Well, do you want to get into it? Should we get into it?
Sure.
Let's do worst. What's your worst part, Ricky?
Just the tone was so all over the place. I didn't like that they were trying to make The Rock funny. I just really wanted Hercules to be like a badass, because they set that up like, oh, this guy's he's going to be a mercenary. And then like kind of has like sidekicks who show up, like part of like his crew. I didn't like that. Why does he say fuck? I was like,
only one time, though.
Yeah, but it's so...
I loved it so much.
Really? It's just so,
because,
like...
Ricky, come on. He doesn't just say fuck. He says fucking centaurs.
It is...
That is so good.
I feel like we're completely
opposite on this movie, which is great. I love it. I love when we're opposite.
I wish that it would have taken itself more seriously.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
And I wasn't impressed by like a lot of the battle scenes. I liked the whole thing where they were fighting the green dudes, and every time it would like cut, it'd be like a shot from above them, and you could like see how they were like forming the shield around the group. I was like, oh, that's cool.
Right.
But it still kind of looked, like the ships in Troy, where you could tell they figured out that CGI effect. Like, oh, we can put 100 ships now.
Sure.
Like, we can put all these soldiers down there. Yeah. Like, yeah, but now I'm used to seeing that, so I know that's not like. Nothing new creatively.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just kind of disappointing.
Yeah.
That was my worst part.
All right. Well, my worst part, I think, actually is just what I already mentioned, so I won't belabor the point, but that the sort of non-linear storytelling in this, the minimal amount that they used it, it's not like it was Memento or some shit like that, but I just found it very confusing, and I feel like if it hadn't been there, maybe I would have been like, on board quicker, you know, and like more into it earlier. So that would be my worst part.
Yeah.
So Ricky.
Yes.
What is your best part of Hercules?
Now, as I'm watching this movie and I'm realizing I'm not enjoying this movie.
Sure.
So, you know, occasionally I would get distracted, but I would still continue watching. And every time I would look over, I'd be like, man, this dude is in this movie. This dude is in this movie. I don't even know who that dude is, but I kind of seen him in other movies. And I was like, man, I can't. Why is John Hurt not in this goddamn movie? Who walks up in the scene?
The elephant
second
man.
Later, John, I am not William Hurt. Boom. And I was like, of course you're in this movie.
Kane walks right into that scene.
And I thought
the food's not that bad, man.
He's John Hurt. Like, I don't know how old John Hurt is. He seems like he's always been 87 years old now.
Yeah. I mean, he looks younger in this than he did in like Crystal Skull.
Right.
When Crystal Skull was a long ass time ago. Yeah. For an old man, it was a long ass time ago. I mean, I think it was, what, 7 years ago or something?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's sad that I can recall that quickly.
That's all right.
Because that means other important things are not in my brain.
Oh, I mean, I couldn't tell
you.
I
have the Crystal Skull release date in my head, but I don't have, you know, other things, people's phone numbers.
I didn't know I didn't know Boston, or what is it? I didn't know Massachusetts was a state, but I dropped Jackie Earle Haley in conversation yesterday, and I was like, that's what's up.
Yeah.
Now ask me about my
now
priorities.
Ask me about the states again.
Yeah, exactly.
So William Hurt is, or Jesus, I just, and did, well, it. I just did it.
John Hurt was so good, made me wish William Hurt was in it. You goddamn right. That's what you were going to say.
Yeah. That whole time when I was watching The Elephant Man for the first time, I thought it was John Hurd. The dad from Home Alone and Big.
And Big. I don't get it.
Oh, God, it's so good.
John Hurt is just he's like a really good villain. I don't know how often
John
he plays
Hurd?
It. John Hurt is as well. John Hurt is.
Yeah, he is a great villain.
Yeah, like
but just also, let me rewind for a second.
Sure.
Just imagine being an adult person watching The Elephant Man and the whole time thinking that The Elephant Man is the dad from Home Alone. The whole time, 100% just thinking like, wow, what a transformation. I can't believe then he did Home Alone after this.
He went on like some Raging Bull type diet, you know, and physical transformation.
Oh, God. Crazy.
I cannot watch The Elephant Man.
Like, have you seen it ever?
No.
Oh, my God. It's so good, though.
I Awakenings, like, I don't want to cry.
I know.
And I have a feeling that movie is just going to make
me
so sad.
It is sad. But
so sad.
John Merrick. Yeah, it's sad. But also, I don't know. It's a great story. And it's...
I want to see it. I need to prepare myself
emotionally
for that time. Yeah, I understand.
And you do really...
Time.
If you're a David Lynch fan, it's like one that you definitely... Like, I haven't seen Dune on purpose because I'm a huge fan of David Lynch. And I feel like it's one of those movies that like got away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just don't want to see it because I don't want to see the bad thing that like shouldn't have happened and all that stuff.
Yeah. And then the Elephant Man looks like a David Lynch movie, but like, what was the other one? A Straight Story?
Yes.
A Straight Story?
Yeah.
Where it was like, oh, I can make a movie that's not like crazy weird.
Yeah. The Elephant
still
Man
feels like
his,
a David Lynch
absolutely.
Movie.
Absolutely. That was his Oscar shot, and he got beaten out by Rocky.
Oh, damn.
Which is pretty sad.
Damn.
Because, like, eesh. Yeah. If that happened now, like, Rocky would never win, and the Elephant Man would absolutely win.
Yeah. Now I should watch The Elephant Man because I'm always like, oh, Rocky. Yeah, that won Best Picture.
Yeah.
Sure.
Super weird. Anyway, so my best part.
Rhea, if I may ask you, what was your best part?
My best part. I have multiple best
parts.
Whoa, for this movie,
here we go.
I feel like
this movie.
I did. You're going to be shocked. So, again, I like those colors that, like I was talking about before. I also love the fucking centaurs line.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was hilarious. That got me right back into it. I was like, that's very funny. And I really liked the female fighter in their group.
She's
I liked
a badass.
The choices that they made with her. I liked the way they handled the like sexual assault that would probably inevitably happen in these situations because we're always talking about that. I liked the way that was handled in the movie. It was disposed of immediately and then it never came back again. I loved that choice that like, okay, we're going to discuss it because everybody's got to discuss it apparently in every movie and then you just do it and then it doesn't happen again. I love that she just fights the whole movie. There's never a moment where she's like in distress or anything. She gets to be a badass the whole movie. And then there's also a woman that's like not a badass but and needs to be saved and stuff, but it's not the woman in their fighting group because there's a reason why she's in their fighting group, because she's a badass and she's not in distress. So that's what I liked about this movie. And also, I mean, my main love of this movie is Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Sure.
I mean, the scene where he is chained up and Ian McShane. Also, I'll just say that scene also is
that
one of
scene
my best
is,
parts.
That scene is great.
So, I mean, Ian McShane is brilliant in just about everything that he does. If you haven't seen the third season of, or maybe it's the Asylum season of American Horror Story. If you haven't seen that and his episode.
He's in it?
He's in that.
Oh, wow.
And he is terrifying. absolutely terrifying in his vignette when he's introduced is like, it took me like a day to watch the episode because it was terrifying. And of course, on Deadwood, he's amazing. But just him like chanting Hercules yeah. on in that scene is like beautiful.
That's
like, I love the way they do it. It's so good.
That's
it's
great.
So good. And I guess The Rock was like in real chains because he wanted to do it as realistically as he could. And he blacked out like 8 times during that scene because he was legitimately trying to break the chains.
Yeah.
He looks like the He-Man action figure that I had as a kid that I would just like stare at and play with. His muscles just look like if you molded a person, like this is how muscles should look on a huge human.
Mm-hmm.
He looks insane.
Yeah. It's like when you watch Conan or when you watch Arnold as Conan and you're yeah. like, yeah, did they travel in time and bring you to this
yeah,
time? Because you
crazy.
Are. It's insane. Yeah.
But
it's
I,
really
I just like I basically love anything that he's in. I love him in anything. I love
that. How do you feel about the Tooth Fairy?
Well, I haven't seen that yet. I love him in almost everything that he's in. These days.
Yeah.
Later era, modern era, The Rock is like my favorite. And I want him to be in every action movie that we ever see.
Do you watch Ballers?
No, I haven't watched it yet, but I really want to watch it. So
yeah, I watched the first episode. I'm going to do for my loyalty to The Rock. I will continue to give it shots.
Awesome. So, Ricky,
mm-hmm.
on a scale of 1 to 5, Joseph Fiennes is trying to catch up with his brother Ralph Fiennes and be in some Greek mythology movie. How many Joseph Fiennes is trying to catch up with his brother Ralph Fiennes and be in a Greek mythology do you give Hercules?
I will give it 2 Joseph Fiennes.
Oh.
2 Joseph. I think that's
okay.
Almost average.
Sure.
Almost average.
Yeah,
I mean,
okay.
you can sit through it, watch it with some friends.
Yeah, I think it's pretty fun.
It's not terrible.
It's not terrible.
It just wasn't the Hercules
movie. Just doesn't make as much
that
sense.
I wanted. Yeah.
I feel like maybe they should make a second one and it would be better.
I
would see it.
I would say, yeah, give the Rock. Yeah, he can. That can be another franchise for The Rock where he would. That would be fun to watch.
Yeah.
It'd be real fun to watch.
So, do you want me to give me a scale or do you want me to do my own scale?
Rhea, on a scale of 1 to 5, that dude doesn't talk at all?
Yeah.
How many that dude doesn't talk at all would you give Hercules?
I give. Within the world of its own movie, not in, like, is this a film or a movie?
Cinema.
I give it a 3.5.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, I would almost give it a 4.
Okay.
But I am giving it a 3.5. That dude doesn't talk. Well, that was our review of Hercules, and
I thought we'd go harder on it. That was actually, I thought that was
no, I actually thought it was fun.
It wasn't as terrible as I thought it would be.
I enjoyed it, and it's a good background movie because mm-hmm. the plot is so weird and doesn't make super much sense. It is kind of fun to just check back into it every now and then. So
it made me want to watch the Brett Ratner joint, The Family Man.
Oh, that's boy.
Because I was like, well,
well
I like this one.
That's a Brett Ratner?
That's a Brett Ratner joint, yeah.
Is that the Christmas movie?
Yeah.
I like that movie.
I know, it's good. It's good.
Bah, 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 bah. That's such a great...
Yeah.
That was in the trailer, and I remember seeing that incessantly. It's so Taya Leone joint.
Taya Leone up in that piece.
Taya Leone up in that...
Don Cheadle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, John Cheadle. Yeah. Don Cheadle is in that movie. Next episode, we will be watching American Ultra in theaters now. Okay, so until next episode, Ricky, what are you leaving us with?
You know, I've been pretty busy, but I was able to sit down and watch something I enjoyed. I'm only one episode in, HBO's Show Me a Hero with Oscar Isaac, my guy David Simon. It's really good. And Winona Ryder.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, the cast in it is great. James Belushi is in it. He's really good in it.
James Belushi?
Or Jim Belushi. Which one is it? Jim Belushi. He's so good, I call him James.
That's what I mean.
He's so good, I call him James.
James Belushi?
Absolutely. He kills it in it.
Oh, you mean according to James?
Yeah. Oh, man. Guess what I'm going to go do tonight? Watch all my box sets of According to James. Who else is an actor that I'm not even, like, that crazy about, but I was like, oh, you're great in this? John Bernthal from The Wolf of Wall Street. He played like the really like tough guy, bad guy.
Oh yeah,
in
from
the Wolf of Wall Street. He was in The Walking,
Walking Dead
as well.
Yes,
he's great in this, and they all have like. I mean,
he
Oscar
was in that
Isaac.
Movie Fury as well, which was like a crazy weird movie.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, Oscar Isaac is definitely the lead, but like all these like supporting characters are showing up, and mm-hmm. they're all like super talented. I'm only one episode in, It's a lot about a lot of municipal codes talk.
Sure.
In 80s New York. Is it 80s or late 70s? But it's going to head into the 80s. But it's really solid.
I mean, Oscar the early Isaac, 80s were very late 70s.
They were very late 70s, absolutely. Oscar Isaac is just killing it in this in it so far. It's so good.
He's gonna skyrocket any moment, you know, and just be like the dude.
It has a Sidney Lumet feel to it, which I really like.
Did you see A Most Violent Year?
I did. I was a fan of that.
It sort of feels like it might be a little bit of the same time, kind of.
Yeah, it feels like it's going to head into that time. Those two characters, if his character is in that world, and they're going to run into each other, be like, you guys look exactly alike.
Right. Yeah, amazing.
And Winona Ryder, I always joke about where's Winona Ryder at, but when she shows up and she's good, you're like, see, Winona Ryder, she kills it.
Yeah. She does kill it.
So that's on HBO Go.
She steals the show. That's a reference to her stealing things.
That's on HBO. And they just aired the season finale yesterday. Or the series finale. It was only a 6-part series. So you can watch them on HBO Go if you have that.
Cool. And I am going to leave you guys with, I was going to do The Season of Fall, but then Ricky and I started talking about a movie that I watched on the plane, and I decided to change it to that. I watched the Chris Rock movie, Top 5, when I was on the plane, which I'd been meaning to see for a while, and I was like, hell yeah, it's free, I'm watching the shit out of that. And I started watching it, and I was like, huh, I don't know about this, and then I loved it. I just loved it. I thought it was great. There is one thing that happens in the movie that I won't mention what it is because I don't want to spoil anything, but I just kind of wished they hadn't just put it in there. It doesn't ruin the movie, but I couldn't be the feminist that I am if I was like, this is a perfect movie, and there's this one thing that's like very glaring in it. But I love the performances. I thought Chris Rock was amazing in it. His like transformation through the movie is really great. Rosario Dawson is in it.
Okay.
Weebo from The Wire is
Weebo
in it.
Weebo up in that
two
piece.
Wire connections on this piece.
We're dropping them on you.
I really liked it. I loved the story, and I loved that it was like it wasn't what I expected. I thought it was going to be like this very, you know, kinetic comedy sort of, but it ended up being, you know, just like a very subtle, like rom-com kind of like character piece. I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was great.
Can I add on to what you're saying
right
now?
Please do.
The soundtrack to that movie is, it's like amazing.
It is.
Roy Ayers Running Away, isn't it? When that started playing, I was like, it's over. You did it, Chris. Thank you.
Leslie Jones is great in it.
That scene is one of the best in the movie.
What's the gal's name that plays his fiance? Gabrielle something? I can't think of her name. And Cedric the Entertainer does this bit that's in the trailer about the taking the hangers from the hotel. Like, that shit makes me laugh still. Yeah. It is so, just the way he plays it is so specific and funny, and God, see it,
because really
I liked it a lot. So anyway, that is my recommendation for this episode, and until next week,
I'm Ricky Carmona.
And I'm Rhea Butcher, and you have been listening to Wham Bam Pow. Wham Bam Pow is recorded by Lindsay Pavlis at Maximum Fun Studios. Thank you, Lindsay, and thank you, Max Fun, and thank you for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.